This is Repossessing Virtue, a regular online series on the economic crisis at speakingoffaith.org. We're speaking today with Marie Howe. She is a poet, the author of What the Living Do and The Kingdom of Ordinary Time. She teaches at Sarah Lawrence College. Marie, in what ways do you consider this a moral or a spiritual crisis of your own or of our cultures?
Well, yikes. I mean, that's such, first of all, thank you for asking these questions. It's so wonderful that you're asking them and that we get to hear what a lot of other people have to say. It feels utterly at the heart of it, a moral crisis, an ethical crisis, and at the heart of capitalism in a global world and in a world where we are interdependent on each other. And, of course, in the United States of America, where we've gone crazy in some very essential ways. Mm. I myself felt a little crazy last year, and I was thinking about this and thinking, I was living in Austin, Texas. Well, it doesn't matter where I was living, but I was living somewhere very different from my home, and I had applied for a job to stay and teach there. And really, the main reason I had applied for this job, although there were wonderful things about the job, is nothing against the job at all, but I didn't want to leave my friends and family, mm-hmm. but I was willing to do so for the money. Mm. And it was a lot more money than I was making here, a lot, at least twice, possibly three times as much. And for the first time in my life, I made a decision to go for something for that reason. And when, so I felt like America right now. And when I came down to two of us, dun dun dun, and I didn't get the job. Mm. And I was so relieved. And my pride was hurt, as one's ego is hurt. But I looked at my daughter and I said, "Honey, we're going home. And we're going to downsize into simplicity. And from now on, we're going to identify with the poor people of this earth." Somebody pointed out that's probably going to send her to therapy in 10 years. But and we did. We came home, and we moved back into our tiny, tiny, tiny fifth floor, walk-up New York apartment that's as big probably as most people's, garage, tiny. And we gave away a lot of our stuff, and we pretty much whittled down to five plates, five bowls, five cups.
Wow.
And, the clothes we needed for the winter, very simple, 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 simple. And it was a joy. And we came home to our community, which, of course, doesn't cost anything. Mm-hmm. And our friends and, people, our neighbor Will, who's like an uncle to my daughter, who babysits for free, and because he's sort of a member of our family, and mm-hmm. we just really changed, we sort of tilted our lives in some other way towards greater simplicity rather than more.
Does it, in your experience of that, Marie, is it a little bit painful to give up those delusions, that insatiable need for more, more, more?
It felt better to me, Kate.
Did it?
Well, it's an addiction, right,
yeah.
For some of us. And yeah. So we our lives are pretty simple anyway. We don't have a TV. My goal is to try to actually live in real time, 1 minute at a time. And I still don't. I still do many things at once. But my desire is to only do one thing at a time now. Mm-hmm. And for my daughter to know that, instead of speeding up and doing this thing where you pay attention to three things at once and check your email while you're watching TV and you're talking to your friend,
mm-hmm.
that kind of fragment and scattering seems to bring us just more hunger for something that's not there. But we also have to say, started reading in September, just as this crisis began to become apparent, we began to read the Laura Ingalls Wilder books. Little House. Oh, it has transformed our life because we are now on book 7. we've been reading it through the entire, you know, from the, quote, downturn to the increasing downturn to, as I watch my retirement, you know, go from 20 to 30 to 40 to 50% loss. Mm. Now we're in the, quote, recession, and Laura and her family have, you know, gone on the covered wagon, built four houses, you know, built their beds, taken them apart, carried their two dresses each, you know, from place to place to place, and lived through what they call the long winter, which is worse than anything I've ever experienced in my whole life. And whenever things get, when we're trudging up our five flights of stairs carrying bags and our big boots, and we're like, ugh, you know, and my daughter turns and says, Mom, it could be worse. Think about Laura, you know.
So let me ask you the next question, because you're answering it already, and I just want to build on that. What are the Marie? What are the moral and spiritual resources or virtues that you're bringing to living through this time, either you know in your personal life or at work with colleagues, mm-hmm. or in your community? Are you doing something now different? You've said you've mm-hmm. actually gotten rid of a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
You're reading Laura Ingalls Wilder.
We're knitting Christmas presents for everybody, and embroidering pillowcases for presents. We really were. I mean, it's funny. A number of things have happened. Coming back to our community, we're really relishing our community. We're inviting our neighbors in our building over for dinner more often. We're, you know, eating more beans and rice. We've joined a church across the street from us, apparently. We've been going now for several weeks, and I never thought about this, but suddenly it seemed the church is right there. Let's go. Huh. And it's a wonderful church, and I love the idea of belonging to a community. I like the idea of entering rooms. And there's more neighbors we met who lived right near us who are in church, all different kinds of people. And, you know, our life actually has gotten smaller. We walk, you know, on walks to a public school a block away. We walk a block and a half to church. We go, you know, our grocery shopping up to the Union Square Market, and all within about seven blocks. And it feels richer and simpler. We've gotten to know our neighbors. That's the big thing. We had a Christmas party where we invited all of our neighbors in the building over, plus our regular old friends, and we found out that Liz, who lives on my floor, sews, and now she's going to meet us this week to help us fix our curtains and the pillows that have become ripped and tattered, you know. We're actually repairing things instead of buying new things. I brought my boots to the cobbler rather than buy a new pair of, you know, $150 winter boots. The cobbler's around the corner. He put on new soles, and they're fine. I mean, stuff like that, like really simple. What can we recycle? What can we repair? And who can help us do it? So it's fun. Hmm. And a life actually feels so much richer. I mean, sure, I think, oh, gosh, will I ever really ever own, you know, a home now, mm-hmm. living around New York? Or what about my daughter's college education? But if one thing this crisis is bringing home to me is that we just really, just like Laura, we just have now, you know, and all the planning for the future that we were doing, you know, things happen. Mm. And amounts of money on paper disappear, and but we're alive, we're here, we're well, and we're having beans and rice and tacos for dinner. Do you want to come over?
I'd love to. I wish I could.
And we talk about it with our neighbors. Our friend Will, like, you know, I say, Will, listen, when it comes down to it, you know, I'll go forage for potatoes. You break down the chairs for the fire. Like, we can do this, you know.
I have a little fantasy like that myself about living in a sod hut on the prairie and planting potatoes and learning how to make things out of used rubber tires, right?
Hey, I mean, it's in part what we long for, right? We long to be together again.
Yeah.
In some way.
Don't we?
We've been separated, you know, by competition, by capitalism, by all of us, like, stockpiling our little tiny bags of gold, some of us, even our little bags of gold. And maybe, you know, there's another way.
Mm-hmm.
I worry sometimes about losing my job, but then I think, well, then the next thing, you know, we'll do the next thing. But and I know there are people who are stunned and bereft and don't know what to do. I haven't lost my job,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would be very frightened if that happened. Mm-hmm. So there is that amount of security in my life that's steady, which I'm very, very appreciative. That's another thing. I feel so much better about my job now.
Oh,
I'm fond of all my colleagues. You know, gratitude.
Yes.
Gratitude.
Do you, Maria, are there certain things, you mentioned Laura Ingalls Wilder, but are there other things you read or turn to in the way of, voices, presences, ideas?
Well, you know, I get to teach poetry, Kate, and we've been fortunate in that this particular few months we've been reading Walt Whitman, and we've been reading Emily Dickinson, and we're reading Robert Frost now, and all of these poets have in them these values of a kind of love for the real, for the actual, not for the virtual, not for entertainment, but for actual encounter. And I'm finding that, we live in New York, so we live in the midst of an amazing kind of circus, you know. And we don't have a TV anyway, but on a Saturday or Sunday, you know, my daughter and I will set off and just walk to the market and buy potatoes and come home. And we've had an amazing adventure, you know, in the 2 hours of wandering there and wandering through the market, getting our potatoes and apples and coming home, that has been, had this quality of encounter with the real,
mm-hmm.
rather than watching a Survivor or Idol or something. It's been active. It's been participatory. We've talked to a lot of people. We've exchanged laughter and jokes and stories. I mean, I'm really moved by what happens when we just walk outside and talk to people and then come home and then make the apple pie or whatever. So there have been all sorts of rewards like that. And just slowing down into a kind of simplicity, without wanting to, like my daughter just had a birthday and she called from her little loft bed, "Mom, I don't think I should get anything for my birthday," you know. And that seemed it was going a bit far, and I walked through the dark into her little, not really a room, into her sort of place, and I said, "What in the world do you mean?" And she said, I don't need anything, you know, we can just give more stuff away." And I said, "Honey, you don't need to worry about the economy."
Wow.
And she said, "I am a little worried." And I said, "You don't have to worry about that. You're going to get a Christmas present. We're fine." You know, and so I felt glad that she had internalized it, but also, you know, wanting her to see that she gets to have a Christmas present, you know, a birthday present. And indeed, you know, she got a scooter that she's slept with for 2 nights. But so it's good for her, too, I think, you know.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to share? I think we've covered the ground I wanted to cover. Is there anything you have thought of since we first spoke you'd like to share?
Oh, just that I also want to say something about public radio because I was thinking about this so much. I mean, I read the newspaper and I listen to public radio, and I was thinking public radio is one of those resources that gives us so much that seems to be free. You know,
mm-hmm.
And of course I was reminded of this because there was a drive for the public radio in New York, and you know, I finally kind of realized, oh yeah, I have to pay for this too. You know, it's like it's my responsibility. This is the community I belong to. But I, you know, you don't have to pay much. I was just thinking again of all, if we turn to the things that really give us a sense of nourishment, the real nourishment in our lives often doesn't cost much money. You know,
mm-hmm.
So paying $20 a month or $25 a month for public radio seemed very small to me. I mean, now I'm showing how little money I gave, but it was the best, you know, I could do. But I just was impressed again that really the nourishing things don't scream, you know, replace me, spend hundreds of dollars for me, you know,
right.
they're reasonable.
You know, though, Marie, no one's going to believe that I don't have a gun at your head.
I know, but I want to say it's really true. It's really true. I mean, this is something I'm nourished by every day of my life.
You've been listening to Marie Howe. She is a poet, the author of What the Living Do and The Kingdom of Ordinary Time. She teaches at Sarah Lawrence College outside of New York City. I'm Kate Moos. This is Repossessing Virtue, a regular online series on the economic crisis from Speaking of Faith. Sign up for our podcast or listen to more interviews at speakingoffaith.org.